Good morning to everyone at Southampton. It's been 15 years since our family left Southampton as our home meeting. And in that time, our girls have grown up. Jerry and I have grown older. And I'm glad to say our daughters have all been baptised. But we just wanted to send love as a family to you, our old family, meeting family at Southampton. This morning, I want to talk about how we manage our anxiety, and in particular, how we manage our anxiety during these particularly challenging times of coronavirus and this third lockdown. Now, some of our concerns might be more trivial, like I'm worried when I'm going to be able to play golf again. We could be worried about, are we being bored because there's just less going on? We could be worried about our jobs. We could be worried about the dangers in actually performing our jobs. We could be worried about our companies going out of business. And I feel particularly sorry for the young people who, you know, I worry that their futures have just been put on hold. And we're probably also worrying about members of our family, particularly the vulnerable. But this was really brought home to me a few weeks before our first lockdown back last March, when some of my friends in Italy, who were the second hotspot in the world to really suffer from coronavirus, they were messaging me and showing me photos and telling me the story about how army vehicles were travelling through the streets to collect the dead bodies. And it really brought home to me the fragility of life. So with that thought in mind, let's look at how we manage our anxieties during this very troubling time. Now, I admit I have been a raving contradiction during this pandemic. I'm normally a very positive person, but at times it really has got me down and, you know, almost depressed. But this morning, I want to talk about how we can help to overcome those moments of, of being down and depression. And so I want to look at three symbols of hope, which really are the symbols which I associate with this pandemic, and also two thoughts about how we can best respond. So let's crack on. Symbol number one. I remember watching this video, which came from Wuhan, the first place to be affected by the pandemic. And every evening, the people in high-rise blocks would go onto their balconies and would shout out, "Jiao," which basically translated means, "Don't give up, hang on in there, you can do it." Have a look at the video. Now, this idea of all meeting at a certain time was replicated in northern Italy. And one of the small villages there, when the parents and the school teachers were trying to explain to the children about what was going on, they encouraged them to draw pictures of the rainbow with this phrase, "Andre tutti bene," forgive the pronunciation. But that phrase basically translates to "everything will be all right." And so the drawings that the children did of the rainbows and that phrase was basically to give them hope and confidence that you'll be able to get through the current challenging times. Now that then spread to the UK, and many of the children started drawing pictures of the rainbow and putting them in the windows of their houses. And there wasn't one phrase which we used: keep smiling, stay safe, thank you NHS, and a variety of others. And some people even put or even painted the rainbow on the front of their houses as a thank you to the NHS and to try and cheer people up. And I know when we as a family used to go on our walks during that first lockdown, we'd look for the picture, the sign of the rainbow in the window, which has got this sort of beautiful sort of connotation that during our challenging times, the symbol which people put in the windows as a sign of hope was the symbol which God had given us as his covenant. So let's look at the verses from the Bible where we first see that. So if we turn to Genesis 9, we can see that God said to Noah and his sons with him, "I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you and with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock and the wild animals, all those that came out of the ark with you, every living creature on earth. I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be destroyed by the waters of flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth." And then a little bit later on, in verse 16, Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth. So God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant I have established between me and all life on earth. So we should be reassured by the fact and the beauty that the symbol of hope is the covenant that God put in the skies for us. Now, the next symbol which I've come to associate with the global pandemic is the logo of the World Health Organization. Now, that logo is the serpent wrapped around the pole. And if you look on the World Health Organization's website, it says that it originates from the story of Asclepius, who was revered by the ancient Greeks as a god of healing and whose cult involved the use of snakes. But we know where that symbol first, you know, was created and came to bear. And that was as the children of Israel departed from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea. And we know that the children of Israel complained and grumbled about it. And they said, there is no bread, there is no water, and we detest this miserable food. Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them, and they bit the people, and many Israelites died. And the people came to Moses and said, we sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us. So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, make a snake and put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live. So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. Then whenever anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, they lived. So I do think it is amazing that the symbol which we've come to look at as healing is the healing that God had given the children of Israel back in those days. And then we further know from John 3:14 that it says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So we can see the healing of the children of Israel in the original days when they came out of Egypt, and then God's second provision of a better healing mechanism for his people being when he allowed his son to die on the cross for us. Symbol three. I remember seeing this very striking image as well. And as many of you will know, this is the statue of Christ the Redeemer, which stands on the mountain above Rio de Janeiro. And what the Brazilian government had been doing was they'd been projecting various images onto the statue, and they'd been projecting various flags of the world to show solidarity with places particularly hard hit with coronavirus. And then they imposed this image. They imposed the image of the doctor's uniform onto the statue of Christ the Redeemer. And it made me just remember that Jesus is our healer. Jesus is our healer both physically, mentally, and spiritually. And this verse from Isaiah, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his stripes, we are healed. And again, a couple of other verses. And in particular, we see that in the last verse in Mark, he said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. So for me, let's just think about those three symbols. Three symbols of the pandemic. The rainbow that God put in the sky for us. The symbol of the World Health Organization being the healing of the nations. And then the third one is how they portrayed the image of today's healers, the doctors and nurses, and overlaid that onto Jesus to remind us who our true healer is. Now, one of the things I always say to my kids and to anybody who will listen to me is that life is all about how we respond. And the two ways in which I think we need to respond are these. First of all, trust. We have to show trust in God. And so trade anxiety for trust is my first thought today. In nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. And again, what a beautiful thought that is. And this was, and the importance of this was really reminded to me by Maddie, my middle daughter. And during April, a couple of our friends, Blessy and Rolando, who are from the Philippines, were in particular need. And Rolando contracted coronavirus and he was very poorly. And I actually got a phone call off Blessy asking if she should ring the hospital. And I spoke to him on the phone and he couldn't say more than three words without gasping for breath. And I said to her, I'm going to call the ambulance for you. And he was rushed into hospital and he was put on into intensive care that afternoon and on a ventilator. And we were all, you know, beside ourselves with worry and concern for Rolando. And Blessy sent me this image, which she'd been sent on her phone, and they're, you know, they're Christian and believe. And she put this, God is saying to you today, rest in me. I'm already at work in your life. I will turn around every bad situation in your life. I will bless you and your family, and I will heal what needs to be healed. Amen. And she sent me that image to show who she was trusting in. And then she messaged and said, I'm okay, but have to be strong. I'm just giving everything to God. And that really sort of showed me her faith and trust. And as a family, we, you know, stopped and said a prayer for Rolando. And we're all a bit emotional. I ended up going outside and I was just really, really worried for him. And Maddie came out and she says, what's up? And I go, I'm just really worried about Rolando. And she said, we've done everything we can. We've prayed to God. We've put it in his hands. It's all going to be okay. What are you worried about? And it was as if she knew that everything would be fine. It was as if God had told her everything would be fine. And it really made me realize how strong her faith was that God was going to intervene compared to mine. Now, the good news of the story is Rolando did come out of hospital, out of intensive care, and then out of hospital. But he hadn't taken his mobile phone with him. And so when he got home, the ambulance dropped him off and he just knocked on the front door and surprised Blessy. And she said she nearly had a heart attack and had to go back to hospital in the ambulance that was still there. But again, it just showed about the importance of putting faith and trust in God. And my favourite chapter in the Bible is probably Romans 8. And, you know, this is, again, a beautiful chapter which gives us so much confidence. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who does not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? So again, it just sort of shows, you know, those magic words. If God is for us, who can be against us? Now, the world has been searching for a vaccine for COVID-19 for, you know, a long time. But the world already has a vaccine for our fears. And that vaccine is trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. And I saw these images and the striking symmetry of them really brought it home to me about you can either choose to worry, you know, you can either choose to worry or you can choose to pray. And I think the appeal has to be worry less, pray more. So if the first way we should respond is by worrying less, praying more and trusting in God, let's look at the second way in which we respond. And for me, that has to be about rejoice. And this was, again, brought home to me in the spring this year when someone said to me, we all wish the clocks could be put forward a few months this weekend so that we can be over this terrible time. And I know my first reaction was, no, I don't. You know, why do I want to lose part of my life? And the preciousness of every day was really reminded, you know, was a reminder to me. And so out of Psalm 118, the stone which the builder rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvellous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And again, it made me realise the preciousness of every day, the fragility of life, and how we have to make the most of every day. Whatever that day is, this is the day the Lord has given us. And so we have a responsibility to make the most of it, to rejoice in it and be glad in it, whatever the challenges that exist. And so every morning when we get up, we have a choice. We can either choose to be positive or we can choose to be negative. And from Matthew 6, I'm reminded of the verse, "Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." So when we get up, we can choose how we are going to be. We can choose, are we going to be happy or sad? Are we going to be in a good mood or a bad one? Are we going to be positive or negative? We have to make the most of life. You know, we can't let the day pass us by as we mope around. So I think that's the second thing which we have to do in terms of how we respond. Rejoice in the day that's been given to us. So to conclude, remember the faithfulness of God. Every time we see a rainbow, we should remember the faithfulness of God. Every time we see or hear the World Health Organization being remembered, we should remember that we have to look to Jesus and trust in him. Every time we see a doctor or a nurse, whether that be actually in the hospitals or on the television, we should remember that Jesus is the true healer of the world. And it's him who we're going to remember in a moment, our true healer. And then in terms of how we respond, we should choose to be positive every day. Trade anxiety for trust. Worry less, pray more. And remember, if God is for us, who can be against us? And then the second way in which we respond should be to remember that this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. When I first prepared this talk, Maddie, my middle daughter, helped me by making a video which showed all the people who were being positive, who were making the most of every day. And she put video footage of that together to the soundtrack of "This is the day that the Lord has made" from our Praise the Lord songbook. And I've sent that across, and hopefully that's going to get played at some point this morning or sent out to you afterwards. So you can just see that as well to inspire us, to make sure that we rejoice in the day that's been given to us. But now we've got the fabulous opportunity and the opportunity to remember the greatest blessing that's ever been given to us. And that was the reconciliation to God our Father through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to do that in the bread and the wine. So thank you for having me this morning. God bless.